Hi, good morning, SP. My name is Ian. I'll be giving the message for this morning. The message would be taken from the passage in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, verses 13 to 19. So if we turn to Acts chapter 9, verses 13 to 19. Sorry, verses 3 to 19. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he may regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. So let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just offer you praise and worship. We thank you for your mercies anew each morning. And we thank you for your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will move and help us gain understanding and insight in your word. Give us inspiration and encouragement, Lord. And Lord, may we be filled this morning. And may we go forth today in all that we do, Lord. In your power and authority, in your love and in mission for you. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. So as I was kind of reading this verse and just reflecting on it, the main theme I was really getting was, you know, the way God can really turn someone who was almost completely beyond and, you know, help into somebody who was so instrumental for the gospel. As we know, Saul, who is also known as the Apostle Paul, Saul was actually born in kind of his background was someone who was, you know, highly regarded in the Jewish sect, and he was a zealot. He was passionate for God. He persecuted the early church, not just because he hated Christians, but because he was just zealous for the God that he grew up learning about and knowing. You know, he wasn't doing this for money. He wasn't persecuting Christians for anything other than the fact that he strongly believed that they were false, that Jesus Christ was a false teacher, and so his followers were also false. So the background to Paul was somebody who was also a murderer, and God was able to turn Saul, when he was his name back then, into somebody who would be he was an apostle, and the founding fathers of the early church. And Paul went on to write most of the New Testament as well. You know, he was of the apostles. He called himself, you know, he called the other apostles, the ones who Jesus initially called as the super apostles. And he always humbly referred to himself as lesser than them. But he's also one of the most educated apostles. And you know, God used him to write most of the New Testament as well. So looking at this conversion story of Paul really kind of brought inspiration, and there's so much that we can glean from this passage. So if we just kind of take it kind of one step at a time and just kind of look at this a bit more. You know, it shows that, you know, in verse 3, Paul was on his way to Damascus. I mean, Paul was kind of on his mission. He was already there going and thinking about who he's going to persecute, how he's going to persecute them, and eventually destroy what was then called the way, the Christian way. And it says in verse 4, that suddenly Saul saw a light from heaven flash around him. And we know that this wasn't just him. In fact, it says in verse 7, the people around Paul, the men who were traveling with Paul also saw the light, right? They also heard the voice, but they couldn't see anything. Only God revealed himself to Saul at the time, you know, and it was a bright light, and the voice said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" You know, Jesus was talking to Paul at the time, and Jesus was identifying himself with the saints, with the Christians who were being persecuted, who were being murdered for the Christian way. And you see this because Jesus was referring to the persecution of his body as a persecution on himself. And Jesus was identifying himself with the early church. So he was saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Right? And Saul's response was quite unique. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" So it's clear that Saul was aware that this was God speaking to him, but he didn't know who God was. He always knew who God, in some ways he always thought he knew God. He was brought up, and he was one of the most educated people in the Jewish tradition and the scriptures. So he recognized that this was a divine intervention. He just couldn't see. He was spiritually blind to the fact that this was Jesus speaking to him. And so Jesus revealed himself. Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Right? But then Jesus went on to say, "But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Right? And so we know that Saul in verse eight, Saul was blinded, and he fell to the ground. And you know, it's symbolic that, you know, when Saul was given this encounter, it was also a transformation, but also a death to his earthly body, right? And it was symbolic in the way his eyes were blinded for 3 days. And we know that he was without sight for 3 days. And for those 3 days, he neither ate nor drank. It says in verse 9, "And for 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate nor drank." And we know that it wasn't just that he didn't feel like eating or drinking. We know that actually Saul was using this time to also pray. You pray fervently to God, right? We see in the later passage that when God revealed himself to Ananias, the other disciple, that God also talked to him and told him in the vision that he saw another man, Saul, praying, right? And I always felt that it was very strange or interesting how God used another disciple to basically bless and basically heal Saul at the time. And so in verse 10, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord went to Ananias in a vision. So in a similar way that God revealed himself to Paul, God also revealed himself to Ananias. Now, Ananias is a believer. He's a believer of the way. He's a Christian. Ananias was probably praying at the time. He was seeking the Lord. And, you know, we see that he was ready. He was ready to carry out the Lord's mission. You can see in the verse, he said, "Here I am, Lord," right? It has similarities to the way other Christian heroes in faith responded to God's calling. They immediately said, "Here I am." And the Lord gave him a strange mission. He told him to go and seek after Saul. And Ananias was a little bit bewildered at the time. He wasn't sure if he heard from God, but he conversed with God. You know, so we know that Ananias was a man of God. He didn't reject the instructions. He was just curious, and he was having a conversation with God in his prayer. And you know, it's not so much the he wasn't taken aback by the vision that God was giving, but he was more taken aback by the instructions. You know, in verse 13, he says, Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, but he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." Right? And he was saying, "Are you sure this is the murderer Saul you're talking about?" Right? How could it be that you would use and want me, and this would be the man that you want me to pray for and lay my hands on? It was just strange. We would have thought that, you know, God's way would naturally be to destroy any human instrument that is in the way of spreading the gospel and showing the world who Jesus is. But God's plans are always very different, and the instruments he uses, the way he uses people, is always very different. It's the redemption story, right? And the Lord said to him, "He is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." And so Ananias departed, right? And then when Ananias found Saul, he said, "The Lord Jesus appeared to me, and that you, by which you, by on the road by which you came, and he sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And so Ananias was faithful and obedient, and he prayed for Saul, and Saul's blindness, spiritual blindness, and physical blindness was lifted at the time. And we know that he regained his sight. He rose, he was converted, he was baptized, and in taking some food, he was strengthened. And we see that much of this is also a commissioning by God on Paul. You know, God was commissioning Paul in the same way, Jesus was led into the wilderness, into the desert, and, he came out of that desert and the 40 days of fasting, the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. We see a small kind of example in which God used a very similar way to commission Paul and to fill him with the Holy Spirit and the power to carry out the works which God had prepared for Paul in advance. And so why is this relevant for us, right? I think for one reason would be the theme of redemption is very, very strong in the life of Paul. And I think as believers, you know, we often look back as well, or we should look back at the way that we were before we knew Jesus, because it has power. It is our story. It's our personal story. And how we were before Jesus and how we are now, most people, most Christians, their testament would be, they're just, you know, completely different people. But at the same time, God didn't completely, he used the same skills that Paul had before conversion, but for the glory of God. know, God didn't turn everything to waste, but he, in his infinite wisdom, foreknew Saul in the same way God foreknew us and fashioned us. The way he made us and the way he made Saul was for the purpose of God. And it's just the way we use our gifts and talents and everything and our circumstances, our education, our status. It was meant for God's glory. And in many ways, Saul was using it in the wrong way. And we also, even now today as Christians, sometimes we're using those gifts, those talents, opportunities, areas of influence, perhaps in the wrong way, perhaps not in the way that God intended us to do that. Perhaps some of us are even ashamed of the things that we've done in the past, right? The mistakes that we've made. And the conversion story of Paul really goes to show that nothing is beyond redemption. Nothing is beyond redemption. We see also in the way in which God had called Paul, God had transformed Paul, very insightful. So I find that there were a few things here that were quite unique for Paul, but also quite universal for a lot of the Christians and experience that Christians have. The first one is the physical kind of impediment. You know, Paul was temporarily blinded, right? So there was some kind of physical impediment. And some of us experience this physical impediment. Some of us in a moment's time will be praying for people who are suffering from infirmities. Now, that's not to say that the infirmities that our brothers and sisters are suffering from were from God. You know, it clearly also says in the Bible that Satan is behind a lot of the physical infirmities. But God is able to use these circumstances to also bring about a very strong spiritual change. So in this case, Paul was blinded for 3 days. And in those 3 days, he was able to really just focus and seek God in prayer and fasting. Right? Paul was able to use the physical impediment at the time to really cut out the rest of the world, right? There's nothing worse than, there's very few things in this world than being blind. And temporarily, Paul was just kept blind, but he used that time to seek God, you know, in prayer and fasting. And we also know that even after Paul was converted, God allowed Satan to also give him a thorn on his side to keep him from being too elated or too proud or too conceited spiritually, right? And so sometimes the spiritual, physical, or emotional impediments that we experience really can be used as a way to humble us, as a way for us to really focus on God and just to reflect on our ways and what we're doing. You know, I suffer from back pain, and this back pain has increased and become more severe as I get older. And oftentimes I realize that we take things and health for granted, but this back pain has also made me aware that there is so little that I can do on my own strength. Right, there is so little I can do on my own strength, and it just makes me also more reliant on God, more reliant on God for physical healing, but also more reliant on God for different parts of my life. We know also that Paul was fasting. It says in the scriptures he neither ate nor drank. Right, for 3 days Paul was fasting. So I think this is a discipline that PSAM has always been doing in SP, and that's the corporate fasting, right? We know that fasting is so important in the Christian life. I didn't know this before coming to SP 3 years ago, but I realized that fasting, spiritual fasting, is so powerful, right? before Paul was commissioned and before Jesus was commissioned, they fasted, right? They fasted. And it really reminds me that, you know, the discipline of fasting is so crucial to the transformative power that God wants to bring about in our lives. You know, the conversion of Paul, the redemption of our story, you know, the redemption and of our present circumstances, right? You know, God is probably going to move in a very similar way in our own lives as he moved in the life of Jesus, in the life of Paul. You know, Jesus modeled the perfect Christian life for us, right? And we see that that model was put into practice in the life of Paul as well. So spiritual fasting is so key, you know, not the intermittent fasting that some of us do, but the spiritual fast, right? The fast that we do when we seek the Lord earnestly. And I think that the other one is also the blessing from the community around us, right? You know, I said that it's quite interesting how God used Ananias as the disciple to basically heal Paul, but also bless him with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, in the same way God kind of appeared to Ananias and appeared to Paul in a bright light, in supernatural fashion, God could have done the same thing for Paul. He didn't have to ask another disciple to lay hands on him and heal him. He didn't have to confuse the disciple. He could have just, did this during the time when Paul was fasting. And I think God used another disciple because that's just the way God works. God always works in our lives in community, in community with other believers. There are practical, you know, benefits for God using another disciple, but also, you know, from a spiritual angle, God's really showing us, right, as believers, that not to rely purely on our own strength, right? Not to rely on our own spiritual disciplines, how we read the Bible, how we fast. God is saying, you know, also humble yourselves and allow people around you, other saints around you, to speak into your life and to bless you, right? And there's an act of spiritual humility and spiritual submission to allow people around us, our brothers and sisters, to speak into our lives, to pray for us, right, and to bless us as well. And in the same way, in the reverse way, we as brothers and sisters, we are also called to bless our other brothers and sisters, right? We are also called to lay hands on them, to pray for healing for them. And we do that at CMP as well. And so God always uses saints to bless saints, right? And we know that nothing is beyond redemption. You know, there are few people, I mean, for example, there are few people in SP who were worse than Paul, right? Paul was, you know, threatening and murdering the Christians, right? But at the same time, Paul was used in such a powerful way for God's glory. And so I feel that for some of us, perhaps we're feeling that, you know, we've made so many mistakes, or we're in a certain way that we can't be used by God. And it's been so many years that we've been this way, that it's beyond redemption. And this passage is really here to say that there is nothing further from the truth. And one more important point is that, there's a difference being from kind of having the right physical discipline or spiritual discipline that we enforce in our own lives, that we carry out in our own lives, and also being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? We know that Paul was a zealot, so he knew the scriptures back to front. you know, he was more than qualified, even compared to the other disciples in terms of understanding the scriptures. But the difference really was also with the fact that when you are activated by the power of the Holy Spirit, something deep and transformational happens. The spiritual awakening can only come by the Holy Spirit. And I think at SP, and many churches, we know that, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to carry out the purposes of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be sent forth by God and to accomplish the tasks that God has asked us to do. We cannot do this in our own strength, right? In the same way that we also rely on other saints around us to bless us, to heal us, right? We also depend on the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish the purposes of God. And so there is so much humility that we can learn from this, that we are to really remind ourselves, one, nothing is beyond cure, nothing is beyond redemption, that there is so much hope regardless of our circumstances. There is so much hope regardless of what we've done in the past, that we can be hopeful and look forward to that redemption. You know, whether we are a Christian or whether we're not a Christian, there's always a transformation that God is doing in our lives, constantly sanctifying us, right? Constantly, perhaps even giving us many roads to Damascus moments, that we can really turn around the things that are not pleasing to God or the things that are not really in His will and turn that around through these disciplines, through the discipline of fasting and prayer, of speaking and being in community with the saints, and also praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us and to just fill us, right, with spiritual truth and power. So I'd just like to close and invite Pastor Ernie to lead us in worship as we just reflect on this. Let me pray for us as we go into a time of worship. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of Paul that you have in your word. I pray that we ourselves will also experience this conversion in our lives. That there are many things that we can still repent from. There are many things that you can use for your kingdom and for your glory. I pray, Lord, that you will also bring alongside us brothers and sisters who can pray and bless us. And in turn, Lord, that you will use us as brothers and sisters to bless, to heal, and just to send forth other brothers and sisters around us and commission them in the power of the Holy Spirit just to go forth and make disciples of all nations. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the fact that we are also called into the same purposes as Paul was. And Lord, I just pray that there will be no shame in what we may have done wrong in our lives, that there is always hope, hope of a better future, because we have chosen you and we have faith and we believe in you, Jesus. So Lord, would you come and bless us? Would you come and restore us? Would you come and send us forth? for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
of trouble. Yes, Jesus, you lift me up when I fall down. And all through the storm, you're
Let's pray for our community, for those of us who are suffering from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for them and also pray for salvation in their lives. Let's also pray for others in the community who are suffering from illnesses other than cancer. We just pray for all these physical infirmities to be healed in the name of Jesus. Let's also move on and pray for those of us who are suffering from various types of infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing grace to come upon them and His power just to restore their health. sometimes also pray for others in the community who are looking for jobs. Continue to pray for open doors and for provision for all of them. Also turn to the community prayers for our church in New York. We just pray for our leaders there, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let us also pray for ESAM's trip there as well in advance to bless and encourage everyone there. We pray also for open doors and ministry in North Korea, missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and as well as the persecuted church in the Middle East. Let's just pray for these churches, Lord. Let's just pray, brothers and sisters, for the churches that God has established and is establishing in these countries, filled with power, the Holy Spirit. Pray for our brothers and sisters there who are going through various hardships and challenges. Let's also pray for the weekend gatherings happening. Pray for the Sunday service. I will also pray for the Well Ministry team and for them to work, carry out mighty works in the name of the Lord. Pray for SB Kids. I pray also for the worship team, hospitality team, SBU, SPIN, and the spill services and activities. Pray over the migrant worker classes and the word class. Pray for PMC and all the other meetings that are happening this weekend. Let's also remember to pray for Alpha. The guests were coming up to their second last session about how to and why and how should we pray, evangelize and share the gospel. I'm also going to the last session about why the church. And we just pray that our guests will be able to recommit their ways and their lives to God and also join a church in Hong Kong. Last but not least, we pray also for Hong Kong. Let's pray for Hong Kong, as we still battle through COVID, that it's still not the end. But we pray that God will continually do his mighty work in Hong Kong and protect and bless Hong Kong. Lord, we thank you, and we just pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everyone. Have a good weekend and see you all soon.